Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about our God is able. Amen? Say, God is able. Hallelujah. And I want to introduce you today to a God who is able. And I want you to meet a God who is able. Hallelujah. Because we all sometimes get in situations in life where we need an able God. We need a God who is able, because sometimes we have bad days. Sometimes we go through seasons in life that are challenging and difficult. And God is faithful. He is faithful to bring us through. The Word of God doesn't promise that we won't go through things, that we won't have difficulties, but the Word of God does declare and teach that He will bring us through it. Amen? Amen. So let's read our scripture this morning out of Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. Hallelujah. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able. Hallelujah. To save us. He will rescue us from your power. Talking to King Nebuchadnezzar, your majesty. Our God is able. Hallelujah. To get us out of this situation. This is a bad situation. These three young men were facing a furnace heated up 9 times more than normal. But God was faithful, because He is able. Hallelujah. Father, we love you so much and we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, that you are a faithful God. And I just ask you to touch every person here and minister to them and speak to their hearts. God, you are so good. And thank you for being good. Thank you for being faithful. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have ever had a bad day? Amen. It's one of those days where everything just goes sideways. You know, it's like you just about lunchtime, you tell yourself, I really should have stayed in bed today. It would have just been better off if I hadn't have got up. It's just everything going wrong. I want to tell you about a guy that had a bad day. He wrote his insurance company and he said, Dear sir, I am writing in response to your request for additional information for my insurance claim. In block number 3 of the accident claim form, I wrote, trying to do the job alone as the cause of my accident. You said in your letter that I should explain that statement more fully. I trust the following details will be sufficient. I am a bricklayer by trade. On the date of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a new 6-story building. When I completed my work, I discovered that I had about 500 pounds of bricks left over. Rather than carry the bricks down by hand, I decided to lower them in a barrel. By using a pulley which was attached to the side of the building at the sixth floor level. Securing the rope at ground level, I went up to the roof, swung the barrel out, and loaded the bricks into it. Then I went back down to the ground and untied the rope, holding it tightly to ensure a slow descent of the 500 pounds of bricks. You will note in block number 22 of the claim form that my weight is 150 pounds. Due to my surprise at being jerked off the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded up the side of the building at a very rapid rate of speed. In the vicinity of the third floor, I met the barrel coming down. This explains my fractured skull and collarbone. Slowed only slightly, I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until the fingers of my right hand were 2 knuckles deep into the pulley. By this time, I had regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of my pain. But at approximately the same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel now weighed approximately 50 pounds. I refer you again to the information in block number 22 regarding my weight. As you might imagine, I began a rather rapid descent down the side of the building. And in the vicinity of the third floor, I met the barrel coming up. This accounts for two fractured ankles and lacerations of my legs and lower body. This second encounter with the barrel slowed me enough to lessen my injuries when I fell into the pile of bricks, and fortunately only three vertebrae were cracked. I'm sorry to report, however, that as I lay there on the bricks in pain, unable to stand, and watching the empty barrel six stories above me, I again lost my presence of mind and let go of the rope. The empty barrel weighed more than the rope, so it proceeded at a very rapid descent down the side of the building, landing on and breaking both my legs. I hope I furnished enough information sufficient to explain why trying to do the job alone was stated as the cause of the accident. That guy had a bad day. He had a bad day. And sometimes we've had bad days. We've just had days where everything just didn't go well at all. But when you're having bad days and when you're having problems and when things are going against you and you feel like you've been surrounded by every enemy and all of hell is raging against you and you're just like, I just don't know how I'm going to make it, I want you to know that this is a recipe for a miracle. And that's my first point that I want you to see this morning. This is a recipe for a miracle. Say miracle. Miracle. Hallelujah. If you don't have a problem, there can't be a miracle. Amen? God specializes in bringing us through situations. The children of Israel stood at the Red Sea with the army of Pharaoh closing in behind them. They had a problem. They were having a bad day. In fact, the Bible says they began to complain and gripe and grumble to Moses about how bad the situation was. But this was an opportunity for God to show out. This was an opportunity for God to show that He is able, and He rolled back the water. He brought water out of the rock when they were thirsty and complaining and didn't have anything to drink. He provided for them. He showed them that He was able. He brought down the walls of Jericho when they marched around the walls and they didn't think there was any way that they could take the city. He shut the mouths of the lions when Daniel was in the lion's den, and He showed the might and power that He has. Every miracle, though, begins with the problem. Do you have a problem? Don't say you're sitting next to a problem. Just say, I have a problem. If you have a problem, you are a candidate for a miracle. Amen? If you're facing something today that seems impossible, you are a candidate for a miracle because you serve a God who is able. And the bigger the problem, the greater the miracle. Amen? Say, I feel sorry for people with little problems. So I'm facing something today, but I serve a God who is able. Amen? I said, I'm facing something today, but I serve a God who is able. Let me tell you the next thing you need to know about this. You don't need a majority vote in your favor. You don't need a majority vote in your favor. You don't need all your family. You don't need all your friends to be in agreement. You don't need everybody around you to be in agreement. All of the odds can be against you, but the Bible says if God is for you, who can be against you? Amen? Say, God is for me. You know what I need? I need God to be on my side. That's what I need, and that's all I need. I need God to be on my side. I would like for you to agree, and I would like for you to be in agreement with me, and I would like for you to stand with me. But whether you do or whether you don't, I know that God is with me, and God is on my side. Amen? Hallelujah. And that means the odds are in my favor. If God's on my side, the odds are in my favor. Hallelujah. Our God is able, the Bible says, to supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. Our God is able to supply. Amen? Say, my God is able. Hallelujah. He's an able God. The Bible says, with men, things are, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Hallelujah. All things. You know what? That means the problem you're facing today. That means the situation you have in your life. It means it's possible. I know a little while back I had a situation that I looked at and I got a little down about it. And I got discouraged. And I walked around for 2 or 3 days kind of wondering, how's all this going to work out? And the Lord just began, I felt the Lord just kind of convicting me. I felt the Lord just, you know, saying, preacher, you know, you need to be reminded of what you preach. You need to be reminded of what you're telling people all the time. You're walking around like you don't believe me. I know you believe in me, but you're walking around like you don't believe me. Do you know that I am able? Do you know that I am willing? Do you know that I'm a mighty God? And he had to pick me up, and I had to refocus my faith on that moment and be reminded that God is able. I am convinced. I'm going to tell you something. I am convinced that God can radically change your life for the better, and that God can pull you out of the hole that you find yourself in, and he can turn your situation around if you will trust him, believe in him, follow him, be obedient, get in line with the word of God, and get in line with his purpose. You can't keep doing it your way. You got to do it his way. But if you'll do it his way, he will amaze you what he will do in your life. I believe that. I believe that. Because God wants to bless you. It's the heart of God, the desire of God to bless you. When you think everything is just going against me, the Bible says Asa was surrounded by an Ethiopian army of 1 million people, and he didn't have an army. He couldn't fight back, and he didn't know what to do. I mean, it looked like everything was against him. But he prayed this prayer in 2 Chronicles. It says, Asa cried to the Lord, and he said, "Oh Lord, there is none like you to help between the mighty and the weak. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you, and in your name we go against this multitude." Hallelujah. Church, I want to tell you something. In the name of Jesus, that's what we've got. You may look at your circumstances and your resources, and you may think, "I don't have anything." Oh, don't say that. You have the name of Jesus. You have the name of Jesus. You have the name of Jesus. You have the blood of Jesus. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You've got it. And we need to understand that. So here's what God wants to do. God wants to partner with you. Amen. God wants to partner with you. And that's how it works. God flows into the earth, but he uses people. He partners with people. One of my favorite stories in the Bible was when they came to Jesus and they told him, "We got 5,000 men here, plus women and children that are hungry. They've been out here all day listening to you preach, and they're hungry, and we need to feed them. And they're just, it's a mass of thousands of people." And Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "Well, feed them." Did y'all get that? How many times do we just go to Jesus? "Jesus, we need you to do something. Jesus, we need you to come through. Jesus, we need a miracle. Jesus, 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 do something for me." Jesus looked at them and said, "You do it." Amen. That's what he said. He said, "Feed them." They had more in them than they knew. They just hadn't learned it yet. They hadn't learned how to partner with God. He said, "You feed them." And the Bible says that Philip started counting how much money they had. You know, he kind of did this, you know, and it was like, and he was like, "Lord, I'm looking here at the treasury, our funds and sort, you know, things. I don't know how in the world we can feed them." And this is what I like. Andrew standing. I love Andrew. Andrew was Peter's brother. Andrew's kind of always in the background. Peter was sort of the forerunner, you know, stood out. And Andrew's standing over here watching all this. He heard what Jesus said. He heard it. "You feed them." And I think that got rolling in his spirit. I do. I think it started rolling in him. He heard, he knew. He knew the power. He knew, he understood. That's the only reason that would make him say what he was about to say. He wasn't stupid. But he stood over there and he said, "Jesus, And Jesus turned around and said, we got a little boy here that's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And the minute he said it, it's like Peter walking on the water. You know, when Peter got out of the boat, he had that moment of great faith. And then he got out of the boat and he started backing up. And Andrew did the same thing. He spoke out of his heart. He spoke out of faith. He spoke that power. God, there's 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And then his rational mind started kicking in. And then his next line was, but what is that among so many? His next line was, Lord, I'm so sorry. That's the dumbest thing anybody ever said. There's 5,000 people that need to be fed, and I'm over here telling you about 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But that's not how Jesus saw it. Jesus saw the heart. Jesus saw the faith. Jesus saw the seed. And he said, bring it to me, because that's all I need. All I need is for you to put a little something in my hand. All I need is for you to have a little faith. All I need is for you to believe. And Jesus took the 5 loaves of bread and the fish and multiplied it and fed all the people, and basketfuls were left over. Amen. I know when Andrew said that, Peter was standing over there going, oh Lord, little brother, I wish you'd just be quiet. But you see, Jesus wants that from us. Jesus wants us to partner with him. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Look real hard at that verse. Now unto him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Whoo! We haven't realized the partnership that we have with God in faith. Folks, you've got a powerhouse in you. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit lives in you? Amen? You really believe that? You really believe that the Holy Spirit abides in you? Hallelujah. That is power. What God needs for you to do, he don't need your suggestions. He needs you to listen and obey and line up with God's word, because you have within you the power to see it happen. Amen? Hallelujah. 2 blind men came to Jesus and asked for healing. And you know what Jesus asked them? Do you believe that I am able? I want to ask you that question this morning. Do you believe that I am able? Lord, we want to see. Do you believe I am able? Lord, I have a financial need. Do you believe I am able? Lord, I'm sick today. Do you believe I am able? Lord, we're facing a crisis in our family. Do you believe I am able? Do you know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Hallelujah. Amen. So here's what you do. My next point, pursue God and not the miracle. Pursue God and not the miracle. Your focus needs to be on God, looking unto Jesus, not at your problem, not at your need, looking unto Jesus. We get so focused on our need. We get so focused on our problems. And that's what had happened to me when I was talking about. We get consumed with everything around us, but looking unto Jesus. Amen? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Those 3 Hebrew men, they were standing in front of a furnace because they would not bow. And the order was given that when the band plays the music, everybody will bow and worship the image of Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon. And as the music played, they noticed that 3 young men were standing up and would not bow. And they called them out and brought them up in front of the king, and they said, you know, the king was like, you know, I'm feeling magnanimous today. I'm feeling generous. I think probably you were standing way in the back and you didn't understand and you didn't hear. So we're going to give you another chance, and we're going to play the music again. And this time you can bow and worship the great king of Babylon like everybody else. And they were like, king, we hear just fine. and we understood. And you can play the music all you want to, but we're not bowing. And that's when they said, our God, they said, well, I'll throw you in that furnace and heat it up 9 times hotter. And they said, you do what you want to with your furnace, but it don't matter. We're not bowing. And that's when they said, our God is well able to deliver us from your furnace. But then they said, but if he chooses not to, we will not bow. Why? Because they were pursuing God, not the miracle. Now, they didn't want to be thrown in that furnace. Don't misunderstand me. But you know what? Their heart was God. If he chooses not to, it still don't matter. We're serving God no matter what you do, no matter what happens to us. We're serving God. Our focus is not the miracle. Our focus is on God. If we'd get our eyes off our problems and get our eyes off our needs and get our eyes off our situation and get our eyes on Jesus and become focused on the Lord, that's when miracles can be released in your life. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 says, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that, say, he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. I am persuaded that he is able to keep what you committed unto him. You give it to him. You surrender it to him. My eyes are on Jesus. If he takes care of these things, fine. If he don't, fine. I'm still serving him. I still love him. I'm not bowing. I'm not turning back to the world. I'm not going backwards. I'm not running away. I've made up my mind. I've planted my feet. I'm standing my ground. I'm serving Jesus no matter what. Amen? Because I'm not here to pursue a miracle. I'm here to pursue God. But the God I'm pursuing is a miracle worker. And the God I'm pursuing is able. Amen? And lastly, expect a miracle. Amen. Expect a miracle. One of the richest men in America was a man by the name of Monty Roberts. He became a horse trainer and horse farms and built an empire. But he was in school and he was asked to write a paper. Every student was asked to write a paper about their dream in life, what they were going to do in life. And he wrote this big paper about how he was going to become a multimillionaire and he was going to have horse farms and he was going to have ranches and acres and acres and acres and big houses and barns and drive nice cars and he was going to do this and he was going to do that. And the teacher gave him an F. And he went up to his teacher and he said, I want to know why I got an F. She said, that's the most unpractical, unrealistic paper about what anybody's going to do in life. That you think you could achieve all of that. I wanted something realistic. I wanted something practical. I wanted something real life application. I want something more down to earth. And he told the teacher, he said, well, I tell you what, you can keep, she said, rewrite your paper. And he said, no, you can keep your F. I'm keeping my dream.
Amen.
You keep the F. I'm keeping my dream. And he became one of the richest men in America and had horse farms and had everything. He focused on what he had in his heart. Folks, the world will tell you it can't happen. You have family members that will tell you it won't ever happen. You may have friends that will tell you this won't happen. This can't be. You won't ever see it. You have got to start listening to those lies. And you have got to start listening to the discouragement of the enemy. Those three Hebrew young men had every voice around them telling them, you better bow. You don't think there wasn't people whispering into their ear that were close by that were saying, y'all need to bow. You better bow. The smart thing to do would be to bow. But they didn't bow. They stood their ground and they held on to their dream and they held on to their faith and they held on to what they believed and they threw them in the furnace. But then Nebuchadnezzar said, didn't we throw three men in that furnace? And they said, yes, we threw three men in that furnace. Well, I got a question. Why are there four people in the furnace? And who is that fourth man that's in there walking around with them? He looks like the Son of God. He looks like an angel. Who is that? And the Bible says that they went and brought them out of the furnace and their hair wasn't even singed, their clothes didn't smell of smoke, and the bonds that had tied them had been broken free. The only thing that burned was the bonds and chains of the enemy. That's the only thing that burned. Hallelujah. Amen. I choose to believe the report of the Lord. Amen. So I want you to meet the God who is able. God is able to provide for you. The Bible says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having sufficiency in all things may have an abundance of every good work. I want you to meet the God who is able to do more than you can ask or imagine. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. I want you to meet the God who is able to deliver you. For in that he himself has suffered being able, he is tempted. He is able to aid those who have been tempted. God is able to keep you, keep what you have committed unto him. For this reason, I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. I want you to meet the God who is able to establish you. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. I want you to meet the God who is able to keep you from falling. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I want you to meet the God who is able to save you to the end. Therefore, he is able to save you to the uttermost, those who come to God through him. Folks, miracles will happen when all the sleeping people wake up, all the lukewarm people get fired up, all the dishonest people fess up, all the disgruntled people sweeten up, all the discouraged people cheer up, all the gossiping people shut up, all the non-tithers pay up, all the negative people grow up, all the saints get prayed up. Would all of God's people stand up? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. And say, my God is able.
My God is able.
My God is able. Hallelujah. Amen. But he needs us to partner with him. God, I'm willing. God, I'm willing. I know you're able. I've got, you may think today, I don't know, you got a need. But what have you got you can give to him? What have you got that you can partner with him? May just be a, the widow's mite may not be much at all. You may almost come with empty hands, but you come with a willing heart.